Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 14, Text 22 and 23. I'll read Text 22 first, because 23 is on the board. Kritam me vira paksham sya nikchetvan yatamaitanad vivasasam tatateti pratipere mahamanaha. Rishi said, my dear hero, only preparations made in ghee, clarified butter, will be my eatables. And I shall not want to see you naked at any time, except at the time of sexual intercourse. The great-minded King Puruva accepted these proposals. Text 23. Aho rupa maho pavo.
Aho rupa maho pavo.
Naraloka vimohanam.
Naraloka vimohanam.
Kana seveta manuja.
Kana seveta manuja.
Devim tvam soyam agatam.
Devim tvam soyam agatam.
Cha.
Aho rupam aho bhavo.
Aho rupam aho bhavo.
Naraloka vimohanam.
Naraloka vimohanam.
Kona seveta manujo.
Kona seveta manujo.
Devim tvam soyam agatam.
Devim tvam soyam agatam. Kona seveta manuja.
Devim tvam svayam agatam.
Devim tvam svayam agatam.
Aho rupam
aho bhavo. Naraloka vimohanam. Kona seveta manuja. Sayam agatam. Aho rupam aho bhavo. Naraloka vimohanam. Kona seveta manuja. Devim tvam svayam agatam. Ladies. Aho rupam aho bhavo. Naraloka vimohanam. Kona seveta manujo. Devim tvam svayam agatam. Aho rupam aho bhavo.
Naraloka
vimohanam. Kona seveta manujo. Devim tvam svayam agatam. Aho. Wonderful. Rupam. Beauty. Aho. Wonderful. Bhava. Postures. Naraloka, in human society, or on the planet Earth. Vimohanam, so attractive. Ka, who? Na, not. Seveta, can accept. Manucha, among human beings. Devim, a demigoddess. Twam, like you. Svayam agatam, who has personally arrived? Translation. Puruva replied, oh beautiful one, your beauty is wonderful and your gestures are also wonderful. Indeed, you are attractive to all human society. Therefore, since you have come of your own accord from the heavenly planets, who on earth would not agree to serve a demigoddess such as you? Purport. It appears from the words of Urvashi that the standard of living, eating, behavior, and speech are all different on the heavenly planets from the standards on this planet Earth. Inhabitants of the heavenly planets do not eat such abominable things as meat and eggs. Everything they eat is prepared in clarified butter. nor do they like to see either men or women naked, except at the time of sexual intercourse. To live naked or almost naked is uncivilized. But on this planet Earth, it has now become fashionable to dress half naked, and sometimes those like hippies live completely naked. Indeed, there are many clumsy societies for this purpose. Such conduct is not allowed, however, on the heavenly planets. Inhabitants of the heavenly planets, aside from being very beautiful, both in complexion and bodily features, are well-behaved and long-living, and they eat first-class food and goodness. These are some of the distinctions between the inhabitants of the heavenly planets and the inhabitants of Earth. Karati vachalam bangam langate grim yakipam tamam malle shigurum tinatarinam. Om agana timirandasya garanjara shrakaya chakshamiritam yenata samay sri gurave namaha. So the standards in the heavenly planets is everything is cooked in ghee. And so this is food and goodness. So if you eat food cooked in ghee, then it will help you to your mind to be in goodness. And there's no nudity there. Everybody is covered. And they're well behaved. But of course, if they don't behave themselves, if they break the rules, they get cursed by the sages. The sages are there to keep the demigods in control. The sages are always cursing, just like Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They weren't behaving properly. They were naked in the river. When they saw Narada Muni coming, they didn't care. So they got cursed. So you may think in heaven you can do whatever you like, but that's not true. There is some control there by the sages. So previous sages on this planet, it was also very much like life in the heavenly planets. People used to live for 100,000 years, and life was very peaceful. And even gold was freely available. We heard that the kshatriyas, they used to eat on golden plates, and after eating they would throw them away, like we throw away our plastic plates. They would throw away their gold plates. Eat once and contaminate it, throw away the gold plates. there were no use for them anymore. And nobody would take them because everybody was so satisfied. And they would give away so much gold to the brahmanas, but the brahmanas, they couldn't carry it, so they just left it. So there was just gold lying around, and nobody took it because everybody had whatever they wanted. Of course, nowadays it's completely different. We have, as far as food is concerned, we have our contaminated food, GMO food, where they put the genes of animals and into the food, into our vegetables. We have these wonderful oils that are toxic when you heat them. And then as far as the clubs, Prabhupada says, talks about these clubs where people go. And there's so much violence. People are not at all behaved. Abortion. I was just seeing on the internet that there is now something called transhuman. Like there was transgender. Now there's something called transhuman, where they put some animal stuff inside. They make operations and put all kinds of things inside, so they're not even human anymore. They're preparing for their next life. They probably came from the lower planets, and so now they want to go back there again. And as far as the opulence is concerned, Prabhupada was saying that previously the ladies had golden bangles, and now they have plastic bangles. And so this is our Kali Yuga thing. So as Maharaj was saying yesterday, the only hope is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I would like to also take off a little bit today on the class, comparing the different people from the different yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga, to show how chanting Hare Krishna includes all of the things which were available in the previous yugas, and it's the only way in this Kali Yuga. So in Satya Yuga, people had all good qualities, peaceful, they were free from envy, well wishes of all living entities, And there was only one social order, and that was called Hamsa. Everybody was Paramahansa in Satyuga, and they were automatically doing pure devotional service from their very birth, and everyone was perfect in all respects. They used to worship the Lord by austere penances, meditation, and internal and external sense control. They used to live for 100,000 years, but so we cannot do it now. People who take to the yoga practice thinking they're going to get perfection, it's a joke, because you need 100,000 years to perfect it. 60 years is not enough for meditation. And we don't even know we're going to live 60 years. I made it, but many people don't make it to 60. And who knows if I'll make it to 70. So Prabhupada was describing the yoga societies of today. He was there in the beginning in Dr. Mishra's yoga society. And he said they sit cross-legged, they sit straight. He said about 50% of them go to sleep. And I had that experience because I was also trying different gurus. And one of the gurus had a yoga society, and we were supposed to meditate. And I was new at it, and I thought, you know, so many of them were sleeping. I thought, well, maybe you're supposed to sleep. Maybe this is the goal of meditation, is to get relaxed sleep, relax so much. You know, I really thought that because they were snoring, and I thought, I'm just not into it. I'm not sleeping. I must not be doing it properly. So, So chanting includes the Hatha Yoga system. Prabhupada explained that pranayama is included in chanting and dancing. Chanting Hare Krishna and dancing, pranayama is included. And he said it also means you have no ulterior motive. You want to strengthen the mind and senses to engage them in devotional service. So now the purpose of yoga is good health. And I have to confess that I also do yoga for good health. Because once you get over a certain age, then prevention is better than cure. Because the cure is very expensive, but yoga is free. So, Treta Yuga, they used to do sacrifice. So what happened, what was the characteristics of the people? They're very devoted to their duties, but they have ulterior motives, and they want personal prestige. And emotive passion is prominent. Two qualifications of the people are Dharmishta and Brahmavadina. Dharmishta means they're very religious, they want to follow Dharma. And the second qualification is they're expert followers of the Vedas, the Vedic injunctions. And they're not automatically Krishna conscious like in Satya Yuga, but they're highly inclined to become Krishna conscious. So they strictly follow the Vedic injunctions. They like to do sacrifices, severe austerities. They're not so violent or lusty. And they're interested in dharma, artha, kama, moksha, or religion, economic development, sense gratification, regulated. And they get prosperity by following the Vedas. So this is Treta Yuga. And now the Varnashram starts. At this point in Treta Yuga, we have four classes of men. But we cannot do these sacrifices now. Prabhupada said that we are so poor. He says, if I tell you you need 100 tons of ghee for the sacrifice, where are you going to get it? And how will you afford it? It also can't even afford ghee for everyone here. So what to speak of sacrifice? So therefore, Harinam Sankirtan. Nobody can chant the Vedic mantras. We make so many mistakes. I think Jayananda Prabhupada was trying to teach him to chant the Gayatri mantra. And he kept mispronouncing it and mispronouncing it. Prabhupada said, okay, just chant Hare Krishna. And Jayananda was considered a saintly person amongst our devotees. He couldn't chant the Sanskrit at all. But Prabhupada, he said, doesn't matter. He said, sometimes instead of Sri Guru Charana Padma, we say Sri Guru means cow. They're calling me a cow, Prabhupada said, but that's okay. I take the bhava. I take the feeling that they are trying to show. And so therefore, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam. Lord Ramachandra, he did sacrifice, uninterrupted fire sacrifice for 13,000 years. Who can do that? The sages of Naimisaranya, they had for 1,000 years, but they were having a bit of trouble with their fire sacrifice. instead of the fire, there was a lot of smoke coming, and they were getting black. So in Bhagavatam, they said, better we chant the name of Govinda. This fire sacrifice doesn't seem to be working. That Kali Yuga is coming. So chanting includes also this sacrifice. It's the greatest sacrifice in the age of Kali. Then we go to Dwapara Yuga. And now in Dwapara Yuga, half of the legs of religion are gone. You find greed, dissatisfaction, false pride, hypocrisy, envy, along with attraction for selfish activities, dominated by the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. Only one good quality in Dwapara Yuga, jigisava, that they want to know, they're very curious, they're inquisitive, they want to know the absolute truth. So otherwise they're described as martya, they belong to this material world. So, of course, in Kali Yuga, there's so many problems. In Dwapara Yuga, they're very noble people, they're interested in fame, glory. You hear the Mahabharata, the Kshatriyas, they want to be famous, and they'll give charity even though it means they lose their lives or they lose something. Jarasandha and Karna. Karna gave away his earrings in charity. So they want to be noble, they want to have glory, they want to have fame. And they do study the Vedas, they're very opulent, they support large families, and the Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are most numerous. And they worship the Lord in the form of the deity, the supreme enjoyer, in the mood of honoring a great king. So we cannot do this now because we can't afford the deity worship, and we don't have enough pujaris. Every temple I go to, they're lacking pujaris. So this temple seems like they're well off. Los Angeles is okay, and Alacho is okay, and all the other temples are short. In Europe, in Belfast, Ireland, there's only one pujari for Radha Madhava for the whole day. They have a cook, somebody comes and cooks Rajbhog, and the rest she has to do. And it's very difficult to find pujaris, and very difficult to, and they're so difficult to get pujaris, they even pay the pujaris in UK per offering, and they have to pay them because they can't get the pujaris nowadays. So we're fortunate here, you don't pay the pujaris. And also, Prabhupada said the real deity worship is in Jagannath Puri. If you go there, 56 preparations. If you say, okay, we have 1,000 people, okay, ready. Prabhupada said, it's ready for 1,000 people. Here we would struggle. We would struggle for 1,000 people. And so deity worship is very difficult. And chanting, without chanting, then the deity worship cannot go on in Kali Yuga. There may be discrepancies, so we can counteract that by chanting. So Kali Yuga, we have cheating, lying, laziness, sleepiness, violence, depression, lamentation, bewilderment, fear, and poverty. And the mode of ignorance is prominent. And because of the bad qualities of this age, human beings will become short-sighted, unfortunate, gluttonous, lustful, and poverty-stricken. Women will be unchaste and freely wander from one man to the next. Religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, these four legs are gone, and they will diminish day by day. I mean, they're going. If you visit Nepal, if you're Indian, you can visit the Shiva temple, famous one. Inside the temple, there is Kali. There is a deity of Kali. He's in the ground, and he's coming out of the ground slowly, slowly. And when he comes fully out, then the age of Kali will be fully manifested. Now he's waist. He's up to his waist. Kali is coming. If you go, the Westerners aren't allowed, but I think Radha Swami got in as part of his book somehow. But you can go and see Kali, deity of Kali. He's slowly coming out from the ground. And slowly it's becoming, this Kali Yuga is becoming manifest. So the people of Kali Yuga are almost all Shudras and barbarians, it says in Bhagavatam. Wealth will be considered the sign of a man's good birth, proper behavior, and fine qualities. No justice without wealth. If you want justice, then you have to have money. And beauty, Prabhupada said, means having long hair. And so one time he was quoting this verse And he said, Lord Chaitanya has come to save you. But he mispronounced save, and he said, shave you. So the devotees like that. He's come to shave you. So in Kali Yuga, there's the legs of religion are only 1/4, and that will be lost. Atheism is prominent, so therefore chanting is the best thing. In fact, in Bhagavatam it says, those who are advanced in knowledge appreciate the value of Kali, because we can get all perfection just by chanting the holy name. And it's the best yuga, according to Bhagavatam, because in this age, the Lord mercifully gives the highest perfection. He said that in the previous yugas, they didn't think chanting was so important. Just like in Satya Yuga, human beings were so qualified and they could easily do this Ashtanga Yoga, most difficult process, meditating for thousands of years. So they thought, you know, if we just move our lips, you know, what's the benefit? Is, you know, how can we get perfection? So they thought, you know, we have to do this very difficult meditation. But now people are suffering so much. Modern governments are taking everything away. We hear Greece, so many things. I was there. It was happening earlier on. I think that they were taking 10% of everyone's bank balance from the bank, and then they closed all the banks, and you could only go take out a certain amount. The pensioners, the old people, could only take out a certain amount per day. And there were huge lines of old people, and they were fainting in the sun. And so this is our modern government. It's very cruel. And bodies are full of disease and very difficult to even live. So therefore, the people of this age can cry out for Krishna. And there's many, many times where we want to cry out for Krishna. So we have impetus to surrender in this age, and that is so wonderful. There is a verse also in 11th canto where it is said by, I believe it's Shukadev. Well, no, actually it's one of the nine Yogendras, one of the Navayogendras, because it's chapter 5. So they're speaking to King Nimi. So the verse says, the inhabitants of Satya Yuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali, since in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So of course the best devotee, the most recent wonderful devotee, is Srila Prabhupada. And he came and he preached to everyone. And we see in the purport how he's talking about naked people. Well, he experienced that. I have here, I'd like to share with you a little bit of the Prabhupada's visit to the Morning Star Ranch in the West Coast. Saturday, April 1st, he was staying in San Francisco, and he accepted an invitation from Lou Gottlieb, head of the ranch. This was a nudist hippie commune, and nobody was wearing clothes over there, and Prabhupada went there. So it was a bunch of young people living in the woods, and they had spiritual aspirations. They were growing vegetables and worshiping the sun, and they would hold hands and listen to the air. This was their spiritual practice. And naturally, they were involved in a lot of drugs and free sex. So when he came, this man came to pick up Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave him a rasgulla. And after a few minutes, they started for Morning Star, which is 60 miles drive. So he was speaking, this person, this man named Lou, he said, on the way out, I was showing off all my vast knowledge because I read a biography of Ramakrishna. Watch out. That's when Bhaktivedanta gave the best advice I ever heard. We're talking about Ramakrishna, Vivekananda, Aurobindo. And so he said, you know, when you have found your true path, all further investigation of comparative religion is sense enjoyment only. And so then they went to the forest. There were some redwoods. These are the huge, huge tall trees, 200 feet tall. And this ranch used to be an egg farm, a chicken farm. So there are a few tents, some little huts, and a couple of tree houses. They were living in trees. I think a couple of our devotees were living in the trees there, in this ranch when Prabhupada went there. So he came in the afternoon on a beautiful day, and he was walking around and he saw a lot of naked boys and girls working in the garden. So then after resting, he went and he started the kirtan. And the description was there, some people had clothes on, some people didn't. Some were dancing. He said, but the Swamiji wasn't looking at our bodies. He was looking at our souls, and he was giving us all the mercy we needed. The kirtan was well received, and one of the people in the ranch was so enthralled by the kirtan, he put on his clothes and went back with the devotees to San Francisco. And Prabhupada didn't speak much philosophy, but he had a nice kirtan. So after Prabhupada left, he said, keep chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. And then after that, half of the people were chanting. And I think some of our devotees from there were Vishnujan Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, some others, I don't remember who.
Vibhatananda.
Who?
Vishnujan's cousin, Vibhatananda.
Oh, Vibhatananda too, okay. So I think Tamal was living in a tree. He was living in the tree. So this was Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He didn't care. Even now, I just saw on Facebook one of my friends, she went book distribution and some, you know, there were naked people and everything. And they did a lot of books. And so this was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that he didn't see our bodies, but he saw the soul. So I'll stop here on this, and then I'll talk about today's the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Goridas Pandit. So I'll talk about that. So 1517, Rupa Goswami was born. No, he came to Vrindavan to fulfill four orders of Lord Chaitanya. So why don't I ask you, let's have an interactive class. What were the four things that Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami to do? What?
Reveal
the Dham, good. Yes?
Build temples,
puja, good.
Reestablish Radha and Shamakund.
Reestablish, yeah, Shamakund and Radha Kund. That's the lost pastime places. The Dham, yeah.
Write books.
Bhakti Shastris. Shastras, not Shastris. And the fourth one that's listed here is to propagate the rules of Bhakti Yoga. So he just was wearing a loincloth and a quilt, and he lived under the trees, different trees, every night, hearing, chanting, writing. And he wrote very practical but very profound books. He established Sri Radha Govindaji, and he proved that Lord Chaitanya's teachings are the highest philosophy. So we are all known as followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. What is the Sanskrit name for Rupa Nukas? We're all Rupa Nukas. So he is our guru, one of our important gurus. And we want to become servant of Rupa Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur, he sings Sri Upa Manjari Pada, She More Sampada, She More Bhajana Pujana. Feet of Rupa Goswami are my only wealth and the only object of my service and worship. So who knows which place he would sit and write his books? What's the name of the place?
Terakadamba,
very good. And he was underneath a kadamba tree. And when he would write about the separation of Radha and Krishna, how they were feeling, the leaves of the tree would fall down. And when he would write about Radha and Krishna meeting, then all the flowers would bloom and the leaves would blossom, everything would come. So this was, the tree got purified, this kadamba tree. And so by the mercy of Rupa Goswami, this tree could understand and appreciate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So according to Chaitanya Chandodaya, Kavi Karnapur says, Rupa Goswami is the form of true love and devotion. And Lord Chaitanya empowered him to explain his own love and devotion and to spread it to the world. So, to understand Radha Krishna, we have to read Nectar of Devotion, Upadeshamrita, the books of Srila Rupa Goswami. And this is how we follow him. We become Rupa Nugas. So, 1564, that was many years ago,
he left this world. And it's 27 days after the disappearance of Sanatana Goswami. And his samadhi and bhajakuti are in Seva Kunj in Radha Damodar temple. And that's the place where Srila Prabhupada got inspiration to write his books and to go to the West. And he would often look out his window to see the bhajan kuti of Rupa Goswami. And he got inspiration, and he got vision, he got the benefit, the mercy of Rupa Goswami to spread this movement. Now, Gauridas Pandit was a devotee of Gaur Nitai, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, especially Nityananda. And before he took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda visited him at Ambika Kalna. The temple is still there. There's a Gaur Nitai temple. And Gauridas was crying and saying, please stay longer. So then, because he was crying, Lord Chaitanya made life-size neem wood deities for Gauridas to worship. They're still in the temple there, made by Lord Chaitanya himself. And he said, my murti form is as good as I am and will forever remain in your home to accept your service. So how would he serve Gaur Nitai? He would talk to them sweetly, cook them tasty foods, discuss shastra with his deities, and give them everything, even when he was old. And he wanted to decorate them so nicely, but he was too poor. So Gaur Nitai, they lavishly decorated themselves with jewels to make him happy. And one time, he organized a huge, his disciple Chaitanya Das organized a huge Sankirtan festival. And his deities were so attracted to the kirtan, they jumped off the altar and joined the kirtan, and chanting and dancing. And when he saw the deities were missing, he took a stick and he ran to find them. He was trying to catch them. And when Gaur Nitai saw how angry he was, they went into the heart of his disciple, Chaitanya Das. So then when Gauridas Pandit saw that, he said, oh, now your name is Hridaya Chaitanya, because you have Lord Chaitanya in your heart. And since then, now the deities are there, but the darshan is very short. I went there, not recently, but many years ago. And they open the doors because they're afraid the deities are going to jump off again. Same with Bunky Bihari. They're afraid the deities are going to run away. So they give you a short darshan and then they close very fast, open, close. I guess the deities have that habit of jumping off the altar. So this was Gauridas Pandit. He was a cowherd boy. In Krishna Lila, his name is Subal. He was Subal in, according to something here. Yes, Gauraganadishtipa, that's what it says. But yeah, anyway, this was just from Vedabase. Hopefully it's correct. Okay, and his samadhi is in Dhir Samir, Vrindavan. So we'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. Yes. Yeah.
Not the body. Could you give us some advice on how we can also see the soul?
How can you see the soul and not the body? Well, it helps if you see your own soul. You say that you're not the body. That's the first step. If you can realize that you're not the body, then you'll be able to see how others are not their bodies. And that takes practice. But we do experience that. Has anybody has some practical experience of how you're not the body? Yes?
Involved
in an accident.
If in the accident your arm becomes injured, cut off, your arm is over there on the ground.
Okay, the arm is separated from you. Okay, so that's that's not your personal example, though. Anybody else have an example? Personal example. I mean, it's very simple. Yeah.
Kirtan time.
Kirtan time. Very good. Yes.
Kirtan.
Yeah.
You're feeling beyond the body, the ego.
Yeah.
You're just immersed in the sound,
yes,
enjoying it all.
Yes.
And nothing else matters.
See.
Everything can go to hell.
We can have it every day. I had an experience on book distribution in India. It was from, like, it was a very wonderful book. We were in some village for the first time. First devotees they ever saw, Maharashtra. And we had, you know, about 1,000 books. And we, from morning till night, always we distributed all our books. And we didn't feel hungry, tired. But as soon as we distributed the last book, then everything started pain, you know, pain all over. And because we forgot the body while we were doing the book distribution. So it does happen. Yeah, and dancing too, you have to be careful if you're old, because somehow you forget your age, and then you can break something. So any other experiences, how you're not the body?
Similar as during preaching.
During preaching? Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also, people around you start looking at you differently.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a story in Bhagavatam how there were some girls who were bathing naked, and Shukadeva went past and they didn't cover themselves because they could tell from his face that he's just like a child. He's innocent. But when his father went past, then they covered themselves. So, yeah. Yeah, people look at you differently when you're looking at their soul. They do. They understand. The soul picks up on it when you look at them differently. Yes, Marsh?
Going back to the shaving.
Oh, shaving.
Yeah. My understanding about a little bit more of the story is that devotees were not quite sure whether he said save or shave. So they were going for that clarification.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save you. And he's come to shave
you. Both.
Yeah, because I think it's just the pronunciation.
Yeah, every S in Bengal is sh.
Yeah.
Every S without exception. When I lived there.
Sh.
I
must shave.
Shave you. Lord Chaitanya has come to shave you. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
Just another example. Mm-hmm. When one is really surrendered to the spiritual master.
Mm-hmm. Then he forgets. Yes. We have the example of Sanatan Goswami, who walked on the hot sand when Lord Chaitanya called him. He didn't even feel his feet were blistered. He didn't feel it. And a lot of our devotees went through a lot of austerities. And they, you know, they didn't care. I'm sure you must have in your book distribution.
Yeah, it's
yeah. You feel, yeah. Yeah, just living in India, it was crazy. Crazy austerities.
I was also thinking of the example, your example,
Yeah, yeah. One hour. Just to read. Yeah, I learned to read Bengali in 1 hour because I had to leave tomorrow and I had my deity pujari services. So, yeah, I had 1 hour to learn, and I learned because if Prabhupada says come with me, you want to go. That's you don't care what it takes. And I was off the next day to type Chaitanya Charitamrita for him. I had to. That was my... Yeah, we didn't care. Impossible was a word in a fool's dictionary. And we just do anything. Anything? Any other comments? Questions? Yes. Of course.
Another question. This is about Gauridas Pandit.
Gauridas Pandit.
Is there a lila where his disciple...
That's Sridhar Chaitanya's disciple, Shamananda. That's a grand disciple. And Hrida Chaitanya got upset.
Because
Hrida Chaitanya and Gauridas Pandit were cowherd boys. And Shyamananda got the mercy of Radharani. So he was thinking that, you know, you're not following properly your guru. Or he got angry anyway when he heard that he was not following him. But that's transcendental. We cannot speculate on this, you know. We cannot judge ourselves. But they have their own lila, and they, you know, the guru may be angry and everything. And that's their prerogative.
So it's not necessarily that all disciples of the guru are in the same bhava.
Right, no. If you study Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find a very interesting thing in the 8th chapter of Adi Lila. There is purport where Prabhupada explains that all of the rasas in Vrindavan they support and nourish Madhurya Ras. Even if you're a cowherd boy, even if you're a servant, even if you're mother, father, everything, it's all Madhurya Ras, it all supports Madhurya Ras. But you want to do it in a different way, that's all. You want to be a cowherd boy and support, you want to be a servant, or you want to be a parent. But all of them are nourishing Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. There's a purport that was very interesting. It really struck me when I read that recently. That, you know, how, you know, okay. and then the guru, Hrida Chaitanya, he made up with his disciple afterwards. He wasn't, you know, eternally angry. When he found out what happened, then he was also joyful that he got the mercy of Radharani. Okay, whatever. It's time for prasadam. I think it's almost 8:30.
Yeah, and after prasadam, we want to have Ishtagosti again, part 2. Is that going to work out?